For President Snow, as he comes up and gives us the word, told him to keep it under 30 minutes. Okay, all right. Gracious Lord, anoint my brother's heart with the words that you've planted in him for us. Thank you, Lord, for the hearing of your word. We are in a holy space because of your word, and so make our hearts coachable. We want to be reachable. We want you to plant in us your divine truth through this word. So bless my brother. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the verse of the day from Revelation chapter 14. You want to pop that back up on the screen for us during the message? That'd be great. Then he said to me, "Fear God, give glory to him, for the time has come when he will sit as judge. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water." This is our text. We begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gift of your grace and the fear that you have given to us, not a fear to be afraid of you as an angry judge, but to fear and honor you as the one who has come as our Savior, as the gift of grace to us so that we might live in you and live for you. We ask, Lord, that you would guide us this day as we celebrate this gift of grace and as we live it out here among one another and throughout the week as you send us out into the world to be your agents, your messengers of this eternal message. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Was that an amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, we are here today celebrating really kind of in parallel, probably first and foremost, the gift of the Reformation. Today is we celebrate the festival of the Reformation over 500 years ago as that all began in Europe with Martin Luther pounding 99 ideas on a church door that he wanted to simply debate in the university and maybe in the church. Which, of course, expanded into something far more than what he had originally intended as he pounded those theses on the church door. We're also here to celebrate the dedication of the remodeling of this chapel. Not quite 500 years ago, but I would say probably not long, probably even before Pastor Steinbauer got here, PB got here, I would guess that we were recognizing already at that point in time that this space really needed a facelift. Certainly about 10 to 15 years ago, the district board started looking at some of the challenges that were happening here, and then really 4 years ago in earnest, we decided it was time to do something. Both the water in the basement, as well as just kind of the general grunge of a dark space. How great is this? the whole building, right? Just not only to let the light in, but the image that we started in this whole process was, how do we get the light out? It is certainly important for us to come here and to sit and to hear God's word. It is the greatest form of faith is as we gather here in worship to receive his word, to allow that word to penetrate into our ears and to come and to feast upon that word as we come to the Lord's Supper, here to receive these gifts. It's really, again, what Luther was all about 500 years ago. Not just Luther, by the way. We tend to think about Martin Luther the most when it comes to the Reformation, but in reality, of course, there were a lot of people involved in that. One, just to keep him alive, but also just the reality of all the other church leaders. More importantly, a lot of the government leaders, as well as masses of people that were hungry to hear this simple word of God's grace. As we talk about these 502 years now since that first piece of paper was pounded on the door, we remember again that this isn't just kind of some history lesson, but that this Reformation is alive. Because Luther brought us back kind of this revival of understanding that God is not an angry judge. You know, we hear those words, right? Fear God. And the first thought in most of our minds, right, is, yeah, right? Because God's coming to get you and it ain't going to be pretty. But that's not the God we have. That's not the God who is creator of the earth. You don't make something and hope to be angry at it. You don't create and pour life into something that isn't precious to you. That's the God we have. The God we have is a God who loves and forgives. And so as we celebrate this gift of the Reformation, as we celebrate this time to gather around the Lord's Supper, as we celebrate to hear his word, all of this is about a God who cares for us. And he comes not because you have work to do, right? God, you are not precious and valuable because you've done something for God. You are precious and valued because God is love. And in that love, he sent his son to die for you. In that love, he gave that dead body new life in the resurrection. And in that son ascended into heaven, he now pours out his Holy Spirit into each one of us so that we live in this faith and grace that God has given because we are to fear God and to give him glory. And the reason we give him glory is not because we better do something. We give him glory because what he has done for us, his choosing us, his giving his forgiveness to us, all of those things that are so core to the Reformation. In the Reformation, Christ alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. These were kind of the core pieces of the Reformation. And it's what gathers us here. The challenge, I would suggest, is oftentimes when we hear that simple gospel, to recognize that there's nothing you have to do for God, all of a sudden, as sinful human beings, we think, well, if there's nothing I have to do to please God, then I don't have to do anything, right? Right? That was not, by the way, the message of the Reformation. Luther is very clear about the good works that come forth and pour out of our bodies as those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ. We don't do those good works in order to gain his grace, but in his grace, he leads us into good works. He leads us to gather and to strengthen ourselves. We started this morning asking, what's the last thing you cheered about? For most of you, what was it? Football, maybe volleyball if you watched the ladies last night, right? But both of them are sports, right? And I've often been struck by the irony of especially the football game and really the fourth quarter of the football game, right? Where you have, 90,000 fans or however many in that particular stadium cheering on 12 guys that are in top physical condition, while the rest of us in the stands, most of us are couch potatoes or have bad knees or something else wrong with us, right? But we're cheering them on because we want them to do something for us. And oftentimes, I think sometimes that is kind of the attitude of the church. A lot of spectators cheering on a few folks to get something done. And if the church isn't full, whose fault is it? The few, not the all, right? I mean, that's our attitude that comes with this. Now, that's exactly why Jesus came to die. Jesus shed his blood because of our laziness. That's part of the deal, right? It's more than that, of course. The whole idea of sin is not some kind of little naughtiness that we're, I did this wrong and I did that wrong. The real issue of sin is that in your very core, in your very nature, there is rebellion against God. In your very core is this idea that you don't want to do anything. In your very core is this brokenness of body and spirit, and that's exactly why God pours his Holy Spirit into each one of you today. Into each one of you, as these words penetrate your ears, the Holy Spirit is at work in your faith. That faith, of course, is God's gift. You didn't choose him. You didn't somehow kind of get to the right spot so that God would give you faith. God's gift is his gift, and that's why it is a gift. Because there's nothing you do to accomplish it. And in that gift, right, God loves you just the way you are. You can't do one more thing for God to hold you any more precious. God loves you just the way you are, but he doesn't want to leave you the way you are. He wants to grow you in that faith. Again this morning, I went to the gym. As it turns out, I'm getting old. And if I don't do something, my body will continue to deteriorate, right? And so, do I need to exercise? No. God would love me just the way I am, and eventually, I will go the way of the world whether I exercise or not, right? But I also recognize that for me, it is important that I do something for my physical well-being, both in my intake as well as my output. And so it is true in our faith. It's important that we recognize today that God wants us, as we have been given that gift of faith, God wants us to nurture and work that faith. God wants us to study. You know, it's discipleship. It's one of the great things that is going on here at the chapel. One of the things I'm most excited about the chapel. I love the new building. I'm excited about the new opportunities that come with this building, both in terms of university ministry, millennial outreach here in the downtown area, our partnership with Concordia University, the work with Justin Hanneman and Grace Place and Grace Point, and the work that they're doing with counseling that will come here. All of those things are exciting pieces as far as the building is concerned. But ultimately, it's about the ministry that takes place. It's about the opportunity to care for people in the gospel and then to see how that gospel moves them into service as well. And so it's about our discipleship, how we work out our faith, how we hear God's word, how we come for worship, how we receive God's gifts, how we continue to develop our lives in Bible study as we wrestle with God's word. All of that is fear God and give him glory. Fear God as the God, the creator of all things. You know, praise God from whom all blessings flow is the idea. And in that then, as we grow as disciples, how are we then reaching out to make disciples? How are we sharing our faith with others, not to somehow, you know, get them in here, but how do we get Jesus out there? Because as important as it is to enjoy the nice light coming into this space, it's much more important, or it is as important, I should say that. It is as important that the light of this place get out there. That's what I'm excited about. That's why I'm thankful that you are here, because this place has been an important part of your lives. I'm guessing most of you were students a while ago. I love the parking attendants, by the way. We'd like to save the parking lot for older folks. I was like, what am I? I guess, yeah, Russ thanked them for for calling him a young guy. But just the joy of gathering here around God's gifts, but to recognize that this is half of the equation. The other half is taking these gifts and moving them out there so that the light of Christ is seen. That's what the Reformation is all about, to be a light to the nations, to make known to others this incredible gift of God's grace, the gift he's given you in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the gift of faith as he's put his Holy Spirit into your hearts. That faith that not only gives you rest, but gives you rest so that you can go out and work for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may God continue to guide and direct us in all things, that his glory would fill us, that his glory would shine through us, so that others too might fear God for the gift of his salvation, his love and mercy. In Jesus' sake, amen.
We worship. We worship the Lord with our offering. We call it setting aside. And so you may have gotten on your seat a card and a pen. And if not, there should be some in the back. And we say every Sunday that the Lord is calling us in acts of faithfulness. And so our offering is more than our tithe. I know college students that you're dirt poor. Actually, you're in big debt. But God is still calling us to live in gratitude and generosity. And a big part of God growing that in us is by setting aside a portion of our income each week to do the Lord's work. And so we pray over our offering that it'd be a blessing on this campus. So the way we do this, we're going to do it differently because the room is so full. But what I want you to consider is our offering is more than just our tithe. It's also our heart. It's our time. An offering can be an offering of repentance. And so in light of President Snow's sermon, how or in what way is Jesus cheering you on? You're loved. You're forgiven. The blood of Christ covers you. How is Jesus cheering you on? Is Jesus cheering you on to make amends with your roommate? To share your faith with the person that you're in lab with? Is Jesus cheering you on to care for that person that you see every week in the cafeteria who sits alone and just sit by them? How is Jesus cheering you on? So what we encourage you to do is to think and pray about it. You write it on both sides of this. Then you tear it off. And one of them goes in your wallet to remind you all week long of how Jesus is cheering you on. The other one you put in the offering plate, and we'll have you do that during communion, okay? So how is Jesus cheering you on? And then if you would as well, on the outside is we have a place for your name and your email address. If you would, if you're an alumni and you haven't been receiving our alumni newsletters, would you please put your address, full address on the back and write the word alumni, okay? Because we'd love to send you our information. If you're a student, just write your name and email and phone number, and we'll have a plate up here to put that in as well during the time of communion. Okay, let's do our setting aside. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty, have mercy upon us, forgive our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. He broke it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Take and eat. This is my body. It's given for you." He said, "Do this to remember me." In the same way also, after supper, Christ took a cup of wine. He blessed it. He gave it to his disciples. He said, "Drink of it, all of you. This wine is my blood. It's given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. It's a new covenant," which is the word promise. He said, "Do this often to remember me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. So welcome to the Lord's table. I'll explain how we'll do it. If you're not a Christian, it's a perfectly good thing to stay in your seat and use this time for prayer. If you've not been instructed about what Holy Communion is, or we have a slide that describes what we talk about that says basically the words from Scripture, if any of that up there seems wonky to you or you're like, "Eh, I don't know," it's perfectly okay to stay in your seat. I would love to have coffee with you and tell you why we believe on the basis of Scripture what we believe about Holy Communion, but we believe that this is a miracle. That's why we call it a mystery, that it is truly the body and blood of Christ given for me so that I know in a book that I'm loved and forgiven, I can know in my head I'm loved and forgiven, and now I can chew it. Jesus localizes himself in something that I can handle because he wants me to know that I am forgiven, that I'm his. So what we'll do is we'll commune the servers first, and then, it's going to be a little explaining here, and then we're going to start with the outside rows, and then we'll commune the inside rows. And what you're going to do is you're going to go this way out, you're going to go around the back, and you're going to receive the bread here, and then the individual cup here, and then if you want the common cup, you'll receive it here, okay? And when you do that, you take your bread and wine, and you kind of work your way over here, and then you can have your quiet moment here. On the altar will be a place for you to put your offering, okay? Like the Old Testament Israelites. And so it can be your tithe, but it can also be that slip of paper that you run on. How is Jesus cheering you on? So you put that there, okay? Your empty cup, you'll put right here in a basket, okay? And then you figure out how to get back to your seat. And I think you're gonna go back this way, okay? And the same is gonna happen over here. You guys are gonna come around on the outside and come here. Now, those of you in the middle, it's a free for all. No, if you would in the middle, maybe make your way around the outside, okay? Make your way around the outside, come and do it, and then find your seat. All right? Welcome to the Lord's table. We'll serve the servers first. May this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. We don't do things simply here, so we're going to dedicate this space in a chapel kind of way, which is a little bit of good, but a little bit of chaos. So just let you know. So here's how it's going to work. And I wrote this down. We're going to actually have you move. If you're able to walk and you're able to handle stairs, great. If you'd like to just stay in this space and stay seated, you can stay here. That's just great. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to divide you into three groups. And you're going to go in, some of you are going to stay in this space, some of you are going to go into the Concordia space, and some of you are going to go into the lounge space. And students are going to pray loudly. I got my student, loudly, right, guys? They tend to pray like this. And I said, don't pray to the carpet, okay? And they're going to pray and they're going to bless that space. And then in 15 minutes or less, we're all going to end up back in here. Huh. And then we're going to have a great song and then we're going to have lunch together. So that's the idea. Okay, so all of you over here and half of you in the back there, you are going to stay here. So you guys over here and half of you back there, you're just going to stay right here, okay? And you're going to start praying here first. You guys in the middle here, you guys are going to get up and you're going to follow my lovely bride, who is right here, and you're going to go to the Concordia space, all right? You on the outside, you are going to follow Matt. Matt, where are you? Matt's right there. And you're going to go out to the kitchen, okay? You're going to go out to the kitchen. All right? So you guys are staying right here, and you guys are following, you're following Kayla. Stay right here. All right? We'll be back in 15 minutes, all right?
I'm Riley Johnson, and I'm a sophomore at UNL. My major is nursing.
I'm Caitlin Bueller. I'm a senior at UNL, and my major is dentistry.
Lord, may your Holy Spirit rest in this space. May the space be filled with songs that glorify you, prayers that reach your heart, teaching that is faithful to your word. We pray for baptism in this space, hearts we repentance, and joyful as we receive the sacrament. Remind us of your unfailing love in this space and grow us to greater freedom from our sin. May those who are searching and questioning find answers in this space. Help us to love all those who enter this space. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord, help us to use this space to care for our campus. We pray for birthday parties, food festivals, wedding anniversaries, and fraternity events in this space. May we use this space to build a reputation of kindness to all students on this campus. May we show great hospitality to students from all nations and backgrounds through this space, and let this hospitality open the door to sharing the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Go down to the Concordia space. My Kayla. Where's my Kayla? Woohoo! 6'2". She's my daughter. just follow her, okay? Ready? Those of you who are able.
Okay, I'll restart. Okay, I'm Riley Johnson. I'm a sophomore, and I go to UNL, and I'm a nursing major.
My name is Caitlin Bueller. I also go here, and I'm a senior, and I'm a dental major.
Lord, may your Holy Spirit rest in this space. May the space be filled with songs that glorify you, prayers that reach your heart, teaching that is faithful to your word. We pray for baptisms in this space, hearts of repentance, and joyfulness as we receive the sacrament. Remind us of your unfailing love in this space, and grow us to greater freedom from our sin. May those who are searching and questioning find answers in this space. Help us to love all those who enter this space. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord, help us to use this space to care for our campus. We pray for birthday parties, food festivals, wedding anniversaries, and fraternity events in this space. May we use this space to build a reputation of kindness to all students on this campus. May we show great hospitality to students from all nations and backgrounds through this space, and let this hospitality open the door to sharing the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Matthew will take you now to the Concordia space, right? Follow Matthew. All right. There you go. And then end up back here when it's all done. Well, while some of you get settled, I'm going to have these guys introduce themselves, and then we'll pray. Go ahead.
I'm Riley Johnson. I'm a sophomore, and my major is nursing.
I'm Caitlin Bueller. I'm a senior, and my major is dentistry.
Yeah. Okay, let's pray.
Lord, may your Holy Spirit rest in this space. May the space be filled with songs that glorify you, prayers that reach your heart, teaching that is faithful to your word. We pray for baptisms in this space, hearts of repentance and joyfulness as we receive this sacrament. Remind us of your unfailing love in this space and grow us to greater freedom from our sin. May those who are searching and questioning find answers in this space. Help us to love all those who enter this space. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Lord, help us use this space to care for our campus. We pray for birthday parties, food festivals, wedding anniversaries, and fraternity events in this space. May we use this space to build a reputation of kindness to all students on this campus. May we show great hospitality to students from all nations and backgrounds through this space, and let this hospitality open the door to sharing the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now we wait for a little bit. So I thought about, like, so how many of you, let's just, you know, sometimes at weddings they have this deal where, how many of you were married 20 years ago? Stand up. So how many, if you graduated from here, let's say 20 years ago or more, raise your hand. All right, 20 years or more. All right, do we have 25 or more? Woo! Okay. All right, anybody, we got 30 years. Anybody graduate here 30 years ago? Woo! All right. We're going 35. 35 years? All right. Some of you are like, all right, 40. 40 years ago. All right. All Norden folks there. Okay, 45 years ago. 45. And then 48. 48? Good going. What's that? 50. 50? Wow. That's fantastic. Wow. This will be for you. Just at the time, it's on. While we're waiting for the other groups to come back in, I tell this story because some of you knew Pastor Norden, the pastor here, for 20-some years, and he knew everybody's name. And so when I got here, I had no experience. I was a pastor in Chicago for 4 years. I had no experience in campus ministry. I spent a lot of time with him the first year, especially I was here. And so he actually was in my wedding, and I got married right here. And he forgot our names. He was up there to bless us, and he forgot our names. And so we had to kind of whisper, so that was kind of funny. But anyway, so I talked to him about campus ministry, how it's changed over the years, and come on in. And he was mentioning that it was shattering when the highway came through Nebraska and students started going home. Ministry really, really changed. I was like, oh, interesting. And then he said when fast food restaurants became popular, that really changed campus ministry, because a lot of the ministry before then, the meals were, you know, just the way to eat for free and to socialize. And I thought, that's really, really interesting. So for us, of course, when the internet came to campus, I remember in 96 when the internet came to campus and how much that's changed campus ministry as well. But I think for now, at least the biggest way campus ministry has changed is, one of the big ways is that the school day is much longer. It used to be that you'd have classes from 1 to 4, and then you'd have intramurals, and then the evenings, you know, there was a lot of time in the evenings. And now you could have a test at 8 p.m. at night in the testing center. And so the actual school day is much bigger.
In
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. Please be seated for just a few moments. Thank you for the choir and for our musicians for working hard and giving us a stay. Here's my cell phone number. I tell students this. Put it in your phone. I would love to pray walk with you, meet you in the union, have coffee with you, and any way I can care for you. Take you to the airport for Thanksgiving, whatever it looks like. Just please let me know. We want to thank Barb Meyer and her band of beauties. Are they in here? Or are they out? They made lunch for us. So sorry if you're a vegetarian. All we have is a salad for you because it's a meat casserole, dinner roll. But we want to thank them from Messiah Lutheran Church. Really, a big thank you to Kevin Potratz and his team from Concordia, and especially Ryan and Chad, two guys from the chapel here. They've spent well over 100 hours hanging all this, running all of the lines. It's just... We have Bible huddles on Wednesday night. It's never too late to join. We're at 8:30. We're here. And we're going through the book of Acts. So if you come, just read the first two chapters of Acts before Wednesday. We come, we meet in a large group for some singing and prayer time, and then the guys and the girls teams break up. So please come. It's 8:30 Wednesday nights. This next Sunday is Community Service Sunday, and we're working with Lincoln Lutheran, and we're going to rake. It's our raking week. Every month, the first Sunday of the month, we have a short worship service at 10:30. Then we divide into work teams, and we fan out throughout Lincoln, and this month we're raking. So please come, and if you do have a rake, bring your rake, okay? The chapel retreat is November the 8th and the 9th at Trula Jameson's cabin, and so we're going to meet here at 5:30 to carpool, and we should be back on campus by 1 o'clock. And if you want to know more about it, or if you want to reserve a spot because we need to know how much food to buy, go on our Facebook page, which is University Lutheran Chapel at UNL. All right. Last up, a couple more. One is give a whoop whoop for Nate Meyer. He is not only incredibly well-dressed, he is the director of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, who helped with the financing of this lovely facility. So if you need a microphone, it's right here. Let me get it. Hang on.
Thank you very much, Pastor Bill, and thank you to all who have donated their time and money toward the renovation of the chapel. Thank you to all who are investors in Lutheran Church Extension Fund for helping make the financing of this project possible. And I read from our dedication plaque from Philippians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, we thank God every time we remember you. In all our prayers for all of you, we always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. With thanksgiving to God for his abundant grace and blessing, Lutheran Church Extension Fund hereby extends congratulations on the dedication of these facilities in pursuit of the Great Commission. And so on behalf of Lutheran Church Extension Fund, I present this dedication plaque to the chapel, and praise be to God.
President Snow would like to introduce to you the other people who are partnering in this ministry and using this space, from Grace Point and from Concordia.
So when this got started, really we were just looking at revamping the chapel, and then all of a sudden, as I serve on other boards and have other connections, it was amazing to kind of see the opportunity you had. Concordia was out at Fallbrook and looking for new space, and so to have the partnership with Concordia, to share a little bit about that, Scott Sievers from Concordia University.
Thank you, Pastor Snow. There are many, many exciting things going on in Lincoln, and one of the many exciting things has been the ministry that has gone on in this place for many years already. there's a lot more opportunity. And so the fact that we now have an opportunity to add some synergistic ministries to the core ministry that has existed here for a long time gives God an opportunity to do even greater things in this space. So the renovation represents, from our perspective, not only great stewardship of a building, but a great sense of accelerating God's work in this place. So thank you for the opportunity.
I got to talk more. Originally, Concordia thought they would need more office spaces than they did. When we heard that they didn't need as many offices, I was like, we already planned those offices. And that same week, Justin Hanneman with Grace Point came and said, we really need space. Is there any chance we could have space at the chapel and, you know, rent office space at the chapel? And so I said, how many offices do you need? He said, three. I said, that's how many extras we have.
I was told, Scott, that we had 20 minutes to share our vision. So I think you left me 18. And you used the word synergy. I can't follow up on that. So all I'll do is say thank you. As you might imagine, the work we do is with people at sometimes their most challenging and low points in their lives. And you need a sacred, safe space to do that. You need a pleasing space that puts people at ease. That's what we have here. And so on behalf of the Grace Point staff, future clientele, current clientele, the board of directors, thank you to everyone who has supported and made this dream possible. We really appreciate it.
One last thing. In the back, there are three gentlemen that really need a kudo for all the extra work they've done. Paul Pettit, district treasurer. Rich Boring, our mission executive for the Nebraska district, and Jim has been, stand up, Jim. Jim was really helped coordinate. Jim is from Sioux Falls, works with a lot of architectural work, and really helped guide the board of directors from the Nebraska district in this process, kind of to figure out what kind of space we need, what things could, what was good, what needed to be changed, all those kinds of things. So thank you to those three men and for the work they've done.
I'm going to pray for our lunch. Lord, bless this food that we eat. May there be reconnections of friendships. May there be a nourishment of our body through the food that you provide for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, if you'd like to stay for lunch, if you registered for lunch, I think we have a lot of food. I think we actually have enough food to feed all of you. The line will extend that way, and we're going to eat in here.